Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see everyone here tonight. And welcome back those we didn't get a chance to see or visit with this morning. I'm glad you're back with us. CJ promised a great lesson to you tonight, so I'm going to do my best to deliver. I did promise this morning we'd be talking about spring cleaning. This evening's lesson is entitled Spring Cleaning. We're going to be turning to 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8 very shortly. So I invite you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 to 8 as we're going to be turning there very shortly. I want you to be thinking about the topic of spring cleaning for just a moment while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The thought of spring cleaning scares some, excites others, and is a chore to most. I fall in the latter category. Others, they can't wait to start cleaning and getting rid of things, and I dread it. But I help out when I can. You can ask Becky. But one of the fun things about spring cleaning, though, that once you get in there and you start digging out the old, is the clutter goes away. You have cleaner corners, and sometimes it leads to yard sales. In our neighborhood that we've seen so far, spring cleaning has led to a number of yard sales when it's nice out. And so there's also that other feeling of getting rid of that stuff. You're no longer storing it around, you're just getting rid of it. Well, I was doing some digging to find out, why do we call it spring cleaning and where does this come from? It seems like it's a tradition everywhere. You look at up and down your neighborhood and your neighbors are all, as soon as spring happens, they're out cleaning out their garage, their attics, their basements, their rooms, whatever it is. And I found out that many scholars and historians believe we owe the phrase, at least the phrase and the practice of spring cleaning, to the Jews. And it was interesting that this phrase that we use is tied back to the Jews in a practice that goes back to Exodus chapter 12. The Passover was to be celebrated with the eating of unleavened bread. By the time of Jesus, the Jews had a tradition. And again, this is tradition. The old law did not say that just because the Passover had to be eaten with unleavened bread that they couldn't have leaven in their houses. But the tradition was, just so there was no leaven in the house whatsoever, in the weeks leading up to Passover, the Jews would clean out their houses top to bottom of any leaven they could find and get rid of it. And so they would search out every nook and cranny and throw out any leaven that they found. So when Passover came, their houses would not even have leaven in them. And so their houses would be leaven-free. The side effect of this practice was a clean house and unnecessary things gotten rid of, or the junk removed outside the house. This became known as the phrase spring cleaning throughout the years, and it's still used today. We still talk about it's time for spring cleaning, right? Excites others, scares some, and others dread it. But this is where it comes from, this practice of getting rid of something God said didn't belong in their meal at that time of the year. They were so diligent, they wanted to make sure their house didn't even have it in there, so it wasn't even a temptation to make the bread with leaven. Well, Paul uses this practice in a way to apply it to our spiritual lives. Look at me in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8. The context here goes back to verse 1. Here he's talking to the church and kind of getting on to them, chastising them for a practice they were tolerating. He says they had among them a man in his sin, not even named among Gentiles, someone who had his father's wife. Whether that's his mother or a stepmother or whatever it is, the way it's phrased, Paul is saying this wasn't even something the Gentiles did, and you have it in your midst and you're allowing it. And he goes on to say that this is leaven and it's leavening the whole lump. That here he's using leaven and unleavened to mean sinful and pure. And he says it's going to create sin in the camp rather than a pure lump of dough. And so I want us to take up in this reading in verse 6. He says, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed." So now he's taking it from the physical standpoint of the feast of Passover, and he's applying it to the spiritual because of the sacrifice Jesus made. And he says, therefore, verse 8, "Therefore let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So he goes on to mention the spiritual application here is we're not going to celebrate it. We're not going to be a clean or unleavened bread of dough if we have wickedness and malice among us. He said these are things that have to be cut out. And so he's saying to them, clean out the old leaven. Get rid of it. Don't even have it in your house. And in this case, he's talking to the church. He's saying they have to address that sinful brother and deal with it. And his prescription was, if he doesn't repent, cut him out. Don't tolerate it. Don't accept it. Don't turn a blind eye to it, but deal with it so that he doesn't cause the whole lump of dough to be leavened. So we're going to look tonight at what spiritual spring cleaning means for our lives today. One of the first things we want to note of spring cleaning, the fun part, or perhaps not the fun part, but cleaning out the old, right? Cleaning out that clutter, cleaning out that old corner, or that room, that attic, that basement, that garage that has accumulated over the winter. Things that we put aside saying, we'll get to this in the spring. How many of you do that? Are we the only ones? You put it somewhere and you say, I'm going to get to this when it's a better time, when it's more convenient. Well, then spring happens and there's a whole lot of that that you said when it's convenient, and now you got to do something about it. And so you have to clean that out. Well, just as we understand that in a physical standpoint, when it comes to our spiritual lives, we have to get out the old. We have to toss out that old leaven. And here we're going to use it in a spiritual sense, that leaven of malice and wickedness from 1 Corinthians 5:6-8. He said that that is to be done away with. And Ephesians 4:30-31 tells us to set aside or put away bitterness, wrath and anger, clamor and slander and malice. I want to see how many times malice is used in these lists. That this attitude of getting back at one another, slandering, having malice, this anger, this hatred, it's not something that should be named among brethren. It is leaven that needs to be put out. And so we find in Colossians 3:8-9, he says, of the leaven of the old self, we're to put aside that old self, which is full of anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech, and lies. He says we are to cast off the old leaven of malice, deceit, and hypocrisy, envy, and slander in 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. Over and over again, we're told to set aside those old things. Cast them out. They don't belong in our lives as part of that new self. And so in the physical, we clean our houses or garages, our attics, our basements, our sheds, whatever it is, and remove the trash and unnecessary things to restore order and cleanliness. There are times in our lives we need to take stock of where we are and do the same in our souls. There are things we need to cast out of our hearts and put on something new. We need to do the same in our lives spiritually. One of these things that we need to do is read from Galatians 5:19-21. I'm going to ask you to turn over there with me to Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. Paul here describes that what he calls the deeds of the flesh. And in the later part, he refers to the fruits of the Spirit. And so these could be called the fruit or the deeds of the flesh because it's our actions, it's things that we do. But notice these fruit or deeds of the flesh that will not gain us entrance into heaven. And so they're useless in our lives. They need to be cast out. In fact, if they are in our lives, they will keep us out of heaven. And so notice what he says in verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, or fornication, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And this is not an all-exhaustive list. Paul then says, and things like these. So you might say, well, my vice isn't on that list. Well, be careful holding on to that pet vice, that sin that we say we just can't get rid of. Paul says, in things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are serious practices. These are serious offenses. That if we commit these things, if we allow these things to creep up into our lives and in our hearts, they can keep us out of heaven. We are to toss them out, just like the old leaven was expected to be tossed out. God expects us to cleanse our lives more than every spring. He expects it from us, though. We can look in Ephesians 5:3-5, verse 7 and 11-12. And here we find the leaven of life is called darkness. Christians are expected to walk as children of light, not children of darkness. In fact, he goes on to say, not only not participate in the deeds of darkness, he says, expose them. Remember that light does more than just illuminate. and light our way, it also exposes the dangers to us in the room. It exposes the dangers in our walkway, obstacles, things that are sharp, things that we might walk on or stumble upon, right? As lights to the world, that's how we're to be. Not just illuminate, but to expose. He says here, don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but even expose them. So many people say, well, I don't participate. Well, do you speak out against it? Do you stand for the truth? Well, no, that's difficult. That's hard. But I don't do it. Paul says here, we're not just to not do it. We're to expose those things as evil, as wickedness, as deeds of the darkness. Especially to our friends, our family, and loved ones, those whose souls we want to save. So the question tonight is, we consider spring cleaning. Have you cleansed out the old leaven from your life? Have you cleansed out those old practices, those old sinful attitudes from your heart that can cost you your soul? But with anything, as we read through the scriptures, when God tells us to clean something out, he doesn't just leave it at that. He tells us what to replace it with. He tells us that we need to replace it with something new. Once the cleaning is done, rearranging takes place to make sure that certain corners and spaces are not cluttered up again. I know this is what happens in our house. We try to tidy something up, and if we just leave it the way it is, just blank and empty, you know what happens with that empty spot? Well, this is a convenient spot to leave it till I can get to it later, right? And the cycle starts all over again. So you have to do something new with that space, something new with that spot, so the cycle doesn't continue. We understand that in the physical, but how many of us apply that to the spiritual? When we remove the old, we must replace it with the new, or else the old can come back. Jesus uses this analogy in Matthew 12, 43 through 45, in talking about demons being cast out of somebody. He says in Matthew 12, 43 through 45, "Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That's the way it will also be with this evil generation." Jesus is saying the demon, having been removed, might return to find that house clean and in order. Notice how it uses the inside of that man. He looks at it as a place of abode, a house. He finds it swept and in order. So that man got rid of this evil spirit. And he goes in, brings in his new friends who are more evil than itself. And he says the state of that man is worse than the first. Right? Well, this happens today with addictions or bad habits. If one is overcome but nothing good takes its place, you can move on from that one sin, that one addiction, to another, or back to the old one, but in a worse way. How many of you have known friends that were addicted to something, addicted to one thing or another? I had friends that I found out I worked with at KeyBank, that my career at KeyBank, they had an addiction, and I didn't know that they had struggled and they kicked it. Well, there was a big celebration that this person kicked this habit. Months later, when they didn't replace that with good habits, they went back to something far worse that ended their career. It ended up costing them their job and cost them their reputation. Where I've known smokers. I've had many friends and even a brother who smoked. And that is a difficult habit and addiction to break. And I've known a friend who has gone back and forth with this, and he will stop it and he'll celebrate. He'll be 3 months without a cigarette, and then something happens in his life and he hasn't worked out a new coping mechanism, and he goes right back to it even worse than before. And I've seen friends, acquaintances, people I've worked with turn to drugs and alcohol in the same way. They'll kick one habit. I knew someone that quit smoking only to take up marijuana, which then that was no longer good enough, and it became heroin. And before long, they lost their family. They lost everything. And the stories like these continue, because people will kick one thing, but they don't replace it with something good. If you don't replace the old and the bad with something good, chances are you'll go right back to what you left, or something worse. This happens all the time. Jesus is making a very poignant point here about making sure not just to clean it out, It's not enough just to get rid of the bad, but you must replace it with something good. We not only remove the old, but we replace it with the new. If you're still there in Galatians 5, I want you to read with me the fruits of the Spirit, verses 22 to 25. Because Paul is the same way. He tells us what the deeds of the flesh are, these things that we are to toss out, these things we're to put aside, and he doesn't leave it at that. He tells us what we fill our life with as we get rid of the deeds of the flesh. We need to put on something new. He says, starting in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." He's saying you've put to death those deeds of the flesh. You need to walk a different way. Notice what he says in verse 25. "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." This goes back to verse 18 when he says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." And then he starts telling us what those sins of the flesh are that are so easily can consume our lives, but are things that'll keep us from heaven. We're to put on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says against these things, there is no law. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. "Getting rid of malice and wickedness is only the first part. You then must fill up the spaces with kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness." In Colossians 3:10 and verses 12 to 14. He talks about putting off that old self, laying that old self and its sinful practices aside. And he says, put on that new self. And then he says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, goodness, meekness, gentleness, all these different things that are not what the old man had. We're to set those things aside and put on the new self. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness and love. He says, forgiving one another as Christ forgave us, and put on love. In 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3, we're told that we're to replace our sinful fleshly desires with a desire for God's word. In fact, he uses the analogy or the metaphor of a newborn babe desiring milk. He says, that's the type of child of God we're to be, that we desire God's word. And if we're busy desiring God's word, we're going to be too busy for all these other things that'll keep us out of heaven. Getting rid of our old lives requires replacing it with a new one. We don't have time tonight to read all these passages, but in 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, flee from these things, after he got done talking about covetousness and the love of money. He says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Notice how they follow. Get rid of this. And they don't leave us hanging on what we ought to replace it with. They tell us what to replace it with. He says, flee these things, covetousness, the love of money, greed. He says, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. If you were to turn to 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 26, there he says, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And he goes on to say that we are to be patient when wronged, able to teach, that we might save those who are ensnared by the devil to do his will, that they might come to their senses and repent. And we're told in Ephesians 5, 8 to 10, as we referenced earlier, we're to walk as children of light, no longer darkness. He says, you were formerly darkness. That's that old self. But how often does that old self want to come back? He says, don't let it. That was darkness. You are children of light. Walk in the light. Don't participate in the deeds of darkness, but expose them. So the question tonight, in thinking about spring cleaning, have you replaced the leaven with unleavened, or have you just cleared a space? And the danger of just clearing a space is what will take it back up again. Either the old thing that used to be there, or something worse in its place, as Jesus talked about there in Matthew chapter 12. And so that leads us to the third part, and perhaps the hardest part of spring cleaning in the physical, and especially in the spiritual, and that is maintaining cleanliness. That if we maintain cleanliness, there won't be a need for spring cleaning. Think about that. If we were to maintain that cleanliness throughout the year, there wouldn't be a need for that big push in the spring to have things ready to go for the summer when you're having more people in your house. To not have to have a spring cleaning. One must be vigilant in cleaning those messes when they occur and maintain order and cleanliness throughout the year. Well, in the spiritual, we need to be vigilant. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-6 that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. We're to be vigilant, we're to be alert, and we're to be ready. That means when he comes, the time for cleaning will be over. We can't say, oh, the Lord is at the door, I got to quickly clean this. It's too late. When he's at the door and we hear the trumpet of God, we hear the voice of the archangel and the shout of Jesus, it's too late for cleaning. We're going to give an answer for where we are right then and there. That's it. The spring cleaning is too late. That means when he comes, we need to be ready. We need to have already been rid of that old leaven in our lives that'll keep us out of heaven. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14 tells us we are to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That there wasn't just an application to the Christians in the first century. If that was their present age, what do you think we live in today? This is our present age. Has that crooked and perverse generation gone away? No, we still live in the midst of it. We, just like the saints of old, are still called upon to be lights, to be blameless, children above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He says we're to appear as lights, and one of the ways we do that is to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. And going back to Galatians chapter 5, 23 to 25, he tells us we need to practice the fruits of the Spirit. These are the things we replace that old leaven with, and we replace them in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says there's no law that governs these things. So if we practice these things, we won't be evil, we won't be wicked. And notice that he doesn't just say goodness, but when he talks about righteousness and goodness, it's not just good according to us, it's not just right what is according to us, but it means God's goodness. So this is talking about someone that is not just a good, upright, moral, law-abiding citizen. This is talking about someone that belongs to Jesus. How do we know that? Go back to verse 18 and verse 25. About walking according to the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. We can only do that if we've obeyed the gospel. And we're to look ahead to heaven as our goal. Sometimes we get so caught up in the clutter and in the cleaning part, and it's easy to get discouraged. I want to remind you, a couple weeks ago we looked at Nehemiah and what he had to deal with when he went back to Jerusalem to build the wall. Do you remember as we studied through Nehemiah building the wall, he got them whipped up into their morale was great. He showed them what needed to be done. He said he went and surveyed it. And they said, let us arise and build. And he said, so they put their mind to it, or they put their backs into it because they had a mind to work. What happened though? Their enemies were all about scheming and plotting. They even got wind that their enemies were going to come in and wipe them out at a certain time. And they began not seeing their accomplishment. He said they built the wall to half its height. But you remember what he said the people saw? Did they see that great accomplishment? No, they said, all we see is the rubble. And the strength of the burden bearers is failing. And they became discouraged and said, we can't take it anymore. And Nehemiah saw that they were quickly losing their morale. They were quickly losing that fire they had when they said, let us arise and build. How many times in our lives does that happen? We get caught up in the maintenance part. We get caught up in all the clutter. And then we start to get discouraged. We need to remember the reason for the maintaining of that cleanliness in our lives. We need to be mindful of the goal, to look ahead to heaven as our goal. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. 2 Peter 3, 10 to 12 says, as you look to these things, as you hasten for these things, what sort of people ought you to be in holiness and godly conduct? Now that you know how the day of the Lord is going to happen, you know what's going to happen, there's no mystery when we die, what sort of people ought you to be? But so often it's easy to get discouraged. That's why he tells us we need to put our focus not on the here and now, not down below on earth, Colossians 3, 1 to 3, but on Jesus. He's our focus. He sits at the right hand of God. And these aren't just good ideas, but they are a way of life that must be practiced. As we toss out the old, these things need to be replaced with something new, lest those old practices come back. So cleaning out the old leaven is just the beginning. the question tonight as we think about spring cleaning is, have you maintained purity? It's not enough to just get rid of it once, but it's got to be a constant thing that we maintain purity. We often stumble in the maintenance part, at least I do. We sin and we let that old way of life creep back in. And if we don't stop it, if we don't check it, if we don't keep maintaining that purity, we'll let it come back in and it could even be worse in our lives. We need to get rid of our old ways and repent, asking God for forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. Spring cleaning in the physical is a great idea, but in the spiritual, it's a must. We've probably all known that person in our lives who never spring cleans, right? That person whose house is always that way, they don't get around to it. And that's fine in the physical, that's not going to cost you your soul. But in the spiritual, it is a must. Jesus said it's not enough to leave it swept and in order, but you need to fill it or else that old and even worse may come back. Paul made it a daily habit, waiting till spring spiritually could be eternally deadly. I want you to look with me as we prepare to close in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 26. This is that famous passage in the King James that tells us that buffets are scriptural. But reading from the New American, it's going to read it in a different way. In verse 26, Paul says, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body." This is that buffet. "I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Paul was concerned that after preaching to others, there'd be that one sin in his life that could discredit him. So he said he practices discipline, or he buffets his body. He disciplines that self-control. Galatians 5:23 tells us that's a fruit of the Spirit. Paul says that was a must in his life so that after preaching, he wouldn't be discredited. So the question tonight is, do you practice maintenance daily? You know that we will fill our lives with something. It's on us to make sure that it's not the old that we got rid of. When we crucify that old self in baptism, we need to make sure that that's not what's coming back, but it's the new self that will result in sanctification from Romans 6 and verse 19. So the question is, have you thrown out the leaven from your life? And if so, you need to replace it with righteousness. Don't just toss it out. Replace it with righteousness. Replace it with those things that are good for your soul, that will put you into heaven. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to be. To repent and be baptized into His name. Knowing that that old self can be crucified and buried this very minute, this very hour, and you will be made a child of God. And if you are a child of God, an erring saint, not living the way that you should, don't wait till it's eternally too late. Don't wait till that time has passed. But make it right, right now. Remove that barrier of sin between you and God. And if we can assist you in anything tonight, come forward and let it be known while together we stand and sing.